Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
Everything Creative is a program of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The desire to create is one of the deepest yearnings of the human soul. We each have an inherent wish to create something that did not exist before. The more you trust and rely upon the Spirit, the greater your capacity to create.
I'm Nancy Hansen, and this is Everything Creative. This program explores a wide range of creative ideas, talents, and experiences through interviews and group discussions. Welcome to Everything Creative. I'm Nancy Hansen. Do you have talents in taking photographs, making videos, or creating other types of media? If so, you're going to love this episode today of Everything Creative. We're talking with guests Scott Olson, Marianne Jennings, Ashton Smith, and Anthony Park, who are all part of the team behind the website create.lds.org. Welcome. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks.
Good to be here.
I'm excited today to talk about this website and about creativity. This is going to give our members an opportunity to use their talents and their creativity to submit media to the Church. Let's just get started by talking about exactly what the website is and the purpose of it.
The website is intended to be a way that members can use their media skills to help the Church with all of the different things that we're doing around the world, all the different products the Church has. We can't send photographers to every temple and to every country every time a photo is needed. So on the website, there will be a place where members can come, look for the current needs, and go and take those photos and submit them to us. They'll just need to make sure that they're really high-quality photos, professional-looking. But there, with the temples especially, there are times of the day when, you know, they're at sunrise during the day and in the evening when the light's beautiful, that we can never get the photographers out to every temple all
right.
the time
yeah.
to get those pictures. And so this is a way that the members can use their skills, their talents, and provide some of those things.
Well, what a great idea. Why don't we talk about how this idea came about? And, well, maybe first of all, let's get to know each of you a little bit better and how you became part of this team. Scott, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I've worked for the Church for 28 years. I've worked in family history and information systems and then came to the media services department. A few years ago, Elder Ballard had a talk where he talked about getting members involved in sharing the gospel online. He called it joining the conversation. And through the next few years, there were several people that had the same idea of, we've asked the members to join in the conversation and get online, but do they have media that they can use without going and pulling something off the web that they may not have the rights to? So in the last couple of years, these ideas started coming together and culminated in the effort to create a site where we could get the word out to members and tell them the specifics about what the Church needed. And that's how the Create site came to be, is through all these discussions and plans. And last year, Marianne and I started the call for photos, and we started it so that we could learn what the questions are. Because in getting started, we didn't know all the answers to all the questions. And so we started accepting photos, and we talked to a bunch of people and asked them to start submitting photos so we'd learn about what kind of qualities we'd get, what we had to do to process the photos, how to get them onto the databases here at the Church so that the designers here could use them. And as we got going, we'd also planned all along to do a website, and the website will cover photos, which we started with. We're accepting videos now. In the next few weeks, we'll have music and audio for the radio station, by the way, here. And we'll be doing design and writing. And those will come, like I said, in the next month or 2 months. But very big website, big plans to get lots of members involved. And this is just the start.
Yeah, great. I want to talk about all of that stuff in detail and give our listeners ideas about how they can go about it. Marianne, let's go to you. Talk to us about a little bit about your background.
I started working for the church 2.5 years ago now. I graduated from UVU in Orem in digital media. And right after I graduated, I got a job part-time here at the church and was working as an assistant for Scott and was around when the idea for the Create site was being played with. And I was excited about it. I wanted to be involved. I wanted to work with the members. And I guess one thing led to another, and I'm still here with Scott. I'm over the photo portion of the site, and so I get to work with photographers every day.
Great. Thank you, Marianne. Ashton, let's go to you.
I also graduated from UVU a little bit over a year ago and started as an on-call with under Scott. And actually, I was just preparing things for the web, so editing videos, small things like that. And they were actually just getting Create going. And so as that kind of unfolded, I became full-time and started working on videos. And we did the video contest and then actually built part of the website that we had for Create. So.
Good. I want to come back and talk about that video contest in just a minute. Okay, let's go to Anthony Park.
I'm the newest member to the team. I joined the team at the end of last year. I came on to help with the call for videos and call for music projects. My background, I graduated from Weber State University a couple years ago and have done video productions and content management stuff. And it's been an exciting experience to help develop this process where members can help contribute this media to the church.
Yeah, so we're talking about the name of the website is create.lds.org. And we've talked a little bit about photo submissions. Scott, when you put out a call for photos, what kind of things were you getting back? Were you surprised at the quality, or what did you think?
Yes, I was surprised by the quality. We asked for pretty much everything. And when we said everything, literally everything, we may need a picture of a rock. Mm. There may be an article in a magazine where they're talking about burdens or something, and we need a picture of a rock. And so we got pictures of rocks and animals and pets and grass and tree, you know, everything you can imagine, which is what we wanted. Mm-hmm. We went around and asked designers what they wanted and what they needed. And most of them said, well, I know what I need for the project today or next week, but beyond that, I have no idea. So over the last year that we've done photos, we found that what we need the most of are people. We need people reading their scriptures, saying their prayers, families playing together, husbands talking to wives, parents talking to a child, everything, people living the gospel that you can imagine, because those may end up on the websites, in blogs, in pamphlets or posters. Any product that you've ever seen for the church that has a picture, those are the kind of products that will need these photos.
Okay. So, Marianne, that brings up the question of, you take a picture of one of your children or your neighbor. Are there any kind of releases that need to be signed? Anything legal?
There are. There are quite a few legal things that we do have to deal with. Photographers do have to sign a model release or a release to use image. Well, the photographers don't have to sign them, but the people in their photos do. So
if you were out and you were camping and you took random pictures of another family, that wouldn't be appropriate to send in?
Not if the people
are
able
to get them to sign it. Okay.
If the people are recognizable, if they can identify themselves in the photos, that's when they need a release.
Okay.
If it's a silhouette, if they're too far away, if it's the back of their heads, they don't need a release.
Right. As long as it's not recognizable, we're fine. And there are downloadable releases on the site.
Okay, so you could get those from create.lds.org.
Yeah. If you take a picture of a bear, I don't know if you can get him to sign it, but good try.
Okay. So what I loved is I was looking around on the website last night, and there are tips and tricks from photographers on how to take a better picture. Talk about that a little bit. Where'd you come up with that idea?
At first, we didn't know what our true audience was for who we wanted to be submitting photos. And so we thought this was a good way to start and get members to improve the quality of their photos. There are lots of things that we learned. For example, when one of the church photographers goes out to take a picture of a temple, if it's outside of the first couple of hours in the morning or last couple of hours in the evening, they leave their camera in the bag. If it's cloudy, they leave their camera in the bag. They won't even take shots. Mm. And they look to do what they call hero shots. And you've seen those hero shots in the magazines, just beautiful, beautiful pictures of the temple. We receive a lot of pictures of temples that are done in midday where there's lots of shadows, harsh shadows, or it's dull, or during cloudy, mm-hmm. cloudy days where there's just no light. But on the tips and tricks, we thought if we could get the people to just think about the kinds of things to avoid, that would weed out a lot of the things that we get.
Yeah, because you see a lot of the same common mistakes.
Right. Yeah. And everyone's blessed with a finger, and a lot of them
right.
by a camera. And lots of us have problems with all different kinds of photos that we take, and not all of us are professionals. And so I think probably the tips and tricks will be most helpful for the beginners and the middle of the road people that have some skills. But we're really hoping that the people that are really talented, really have an eye for photos, will look at the photos they've got on their hard drive and pick through those and send us some of their best, you know, share some of their best. Because as you look around, you see thousands and thousands of people who buy these big expensive cameras and they have nowhere to share their pictures.
Mm-hmm.
They love taking photos, and that stack of photos on their hard drive builds and builds and builds. And some of them, I talked to somebody the other day, he's got 100,000 photos.
Wow, yeah.
And he says, I've never looked at them since the day I took them and loaded them on my hard drive, but I love taking them. And so we're trying to get people to do what we call hard drive digs. So they'll go through and look for their best and share some of those. I've talked to some professional photographers, and they say, well, this is how I make a living, is taking photographs.
Right.
And so we don't want to submit those. And what I found out is there's somewhere between 3 and 10% of the photos that professionals take that they actually market. The others, they have just sitting on their hard drive. They're not quite good enough for them to market, but they've already thrown away their worst things, and these are their
yeah.
ones they really, really like. And so many of those have 50,000, 100,000 photos that are beautiful, and they would be great for our uses, but they're just not marketing them. And so we encourage them to look through those and share some of those.
Mm-hmm. Now, there won't be any credit given to the photographer when the photo is used. Is that right?
The big problem, well, yes and no.
Okay.
If they're using the Ensign, typically they have put credits with the photos, and that may not last forever. For right now, it is the policy that they put the credit line there. On the websites, seldom do you ever see the credit line, because some websites, some web pages have dozens of photos, and if you put a credit line with every single one of those, it would just
sure.
really make it look like an ugly page.
Yeah.
So we do have on the website a place where we have desktop wallpaper, and you can see the person who submitted that, and people can download that picture. Well, if we've got, what, 20?
I believe
about,
so.
About
yeah,
20.
Around 20.
That people can download. And on that desktop wallpaper, it does have the photographer's first initial and last name. So they do get a little bit of credit.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that we have to avoid, of course, is we can't promote someone's business.
Right.
So we do give it where we can, but we're not able to guarantee that we will always give credit
right.
in every place that we show the pictures.
So, Marianne, maybe this is a question for you. As these photos are submitted and they come in, obviously they must be tagged somehow so that they would be easy to find for different categories. And then you also keep the photographer's name with those photos as well?
Yes, their information is kept with the photo for as long as it's in our database.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we do have the opportunity to give them credit, we will. And we try to do that when we can.
Yeah.
If we're using it for wallpaper, if we're using it for putting it up on the gallery, we do want to give credit when we can.
Yeah. I love the wallpaper idea. I looked at that last night as well and actually loaded one for my wallpaper, just something new. So it's kind of fun that that's available there.
Now, one of the things also with the photos that people are submitting and all the media, there's a new website called LDS Media Library. And the intent for CreateSite that we're doing is that we'll be kind of an educational place where people can come and learn what the church needs. And then some of the media will have them send directly to us. Others, they can go to a site called The Vineyard. It's vineyard.lds.org. And they can upload through there pictures. And in the future, we'll be able to upload other media. So we tell them what we need. They can send it to us or through Vineyard. And then once we have it, then some of that media will end up on LDS Media Library through LDS.org. And then they can download it and use it. And I talked about Elder Ballard, you know, join the conversation. Mm-hmm. This is one way they'll be able to download snippets of video, music, photos, and they can create their own little Mormon message or YouTube video or something that they can put on their website and share the gospel through their own efforts using the media that other members have submitted.
What a great idea. Yeah, we interviewed also the creators of Serving in the Vineyard, and we're able to talk about their website, too. Yeah. Just a heads up for our listeners to go and tune into that program as well. You're listening to Everything Creative, and we're talking with the team behind create.lds.org. Ashton, let's go to you. I want to talk a little bit about video. Tell us about the International Video Contest, where that, it seems like that was a contest that has already been held and winners have been acknowledged.
It started off where it was a way for them to create their own Mormon message. And Scott may be able to enlighten us on where that actually came from. I think it came from the Brethren wanted to do a...
The Brethren wanted to do a contest, and they had the idea for a contest, and they wanted us to give a proposal. And so instead of just proposing something and saying we could do it something where in the future, this was last August we heard about it, and we proposed that we start last October. So we quickly got it going and let people start submitting their videos.
Okay.
And it went quite well, actually. The winners came, have been chosen, and they've been used in several places on the website.
How many submissions did you receive?
I believe we got around 250.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a lot of talent, a lot of good messages, mm-hmm. which is what we were really looking for. It's a way for, you know, members to submit their testimony. And the way we did this is we had them upload these to YouTube, and we kind of went and they sent us their link. And so in that way, they were also able to share their message with the world.
Yeah.
So we were going back and looking at these videos that were submitted and have thousands of hits on them. So the messages are getting out to the whole world.
That's great. Will there be future contests like that as well?
Yeah, we've discussed it. We're thinking maybe every other year, but we're still in the plans.
So. Yeah, so our listeners can go and find those at the Create website.
Correct.
And yeah, watch those.
Those videos.
They're also on the Roku channel, the Roku box on the Mormon channel. You can find
what does that mean?
The Roku box is an over-the-top TV, basically, is what it is. And there's different devices that you can use, Apple TV, Roku. The church decided to go with the Roku box, and they've created their own channel, the Mormon channel, where they provide a lot of video content, CES firesides, general conference highlights, a lot of the Mormon messages, and also the video contest winners.
Okay.
And it's a free channel that they download once they've got this Roku box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a bunch of these little boxes that hook into your TV so that you can get wireless feeds or through a cable you can pick up the different feeds through your internet connection.
You can hook up through things like Netflix, other things like that, or watch movies.
Okay, yeah. Anthony?
I think one of the big successes that came from the video contest is a lot of the experiences that actually happened with the members and what they were able to experience in sharing those videos with their friends and sharing the gospel. We've had many members comment on the great quality and the message that came through just by these videos that were submitted by the members.
Mm-hmm. And the missionary work that's being done. Yeah. So was it international? Were you receiving submissions from around the world?
We received them from about 23 countries.
Wow.
Okay, professional, which included everybody who had been paid for doing video work.
Right.
Then we had amateur U.S. and Canada, amateur international, 13 to 17-year-olds U.S. and Canada.
That's right.
13 to 17-year-old international.
Good, I did say it right.
So there were five categories.
Like and one winner.
Second-guessing myself.
There was up to three winners in each category.
Okay.
And then we did something kind of fun. We put the finalist videos up on the website, and visitors were able to go and view and vote for their favorites.
Oh, great.
So we had a Visitor's Choice Award as well.
How fun. Well, let's keep talking about video and submissions. So what is it that you're looking for as far as video? And I know that our listeners can find this on the website, but let's briefly talk about that.
So I turned video over to Anthony, so maybe he can explain that a little better.
A little bit of what we're looking for in the call for videos is brief testimonies that are heartfelt, that you are hard to get just setting up video shoots or whatever. It's hard to manipulate that, but we're also looking for video of families doing activities together, living the gospel, doing family home evening, as rough as some family home evenings might be, playing in the park, going home teaching, and even, you know, other video of things without people in them. But the main focus of the videos that we're wanting to get in is those activities that families do on a daily basis, living the gospel.
Real life, authentic.
Right.
Activities.
Part of this,
videos.
Though, is people don't need to worry about creating a story. They just need to record them doing something. And what that video will be used for generally is what we call B-roll or fill-in video. If you've ever seen any movie, any video at all, you'll see little snippets of video. It may be a bird flying. It might be a car driving by. It might be people playing in the park, playing football or something. It's those little snippets of video. So people can literally go out and take a picture, take a video of their family playing football for, you know, 1 minute, and we can use that video in other videos to just fill in as needed. It could be that someone is talking about family activities in a conference talk, and they might be able to use those little snippets of video in general conference.
Sure, yeah. Will you know if your video has been used in something? Is there a way to
kind of it's going to be really hard to track that.
I would think
because
so.
we'll put all this video in a database, and then the different people that are involved in creating the video will go out and find what they need, and they may literally only take 3 seconds out of a video. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to track to say 3 seconds of your video is in this new church video.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to think of ways we could do that with photos. And it's already difficult because there's so many designers and so many people involved in different products the church is putting out that it's just not trackable, especially when we're doing print kinds of things as well.
Yeah.
We do, though, when we do see a photo or a video used on LDS.org or other websites, or if we hear about something, we do let the photographer or the videographer know. We do our best to let them know it is being used, and we really appreciate their efforts.
Yeah.
I think it's fun to hear of the excitement of the members when they find out that their videos or their photos have been used in the church and to be able to see them share their links on the social networking sites. Hey, come check this out where my photo was.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see that.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to see themselves, you know? Well, some of us don't, but yeah, people love
maybe
that.
Maybe not themselves, but their photo.
Yeah, there you go.
That's true.
That's great. So you have other, so we've talked about video and photo, and as this is still in the stages of being created at this time, but you're looking also at music.
Yes.
Can we talk a little bit about that?
Music will probably be one of the most difficult ones we have because of all the copyright concerns. Right now, we're limiting it to people can perform, play their instrument, or sing some public domain hymns. We've got a list on the site. We have a list of public domain hymns and public domain children's songs that they can sing exactly the way they are, perform the way they are, or make an arrangement of. Or they can submit their original music. What we can't do are have people sing and perform hymns that aren't on that list because they're just copyright issues we have to deal with.
Okay. So what about original music? If you have written something and you wanted to sing and submit that, I'm sure there's a form or somewhere where you also would make an agreement for the use of that.
Anybody that submits these can sign an online agreement that says, yes, the church can use these for whatever they need to and share them with other members. And we can also cut them, you know, cut pieces out to use them here in the radio or in other church products or under a video.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of different places this music could be used. You don't even know all the possibilities at this point.
Right. And one of the things we want to do, too, is make it available on the LDS Media Library and have...
So that it's open for anyone to use.
Right. So if you're going to make a video showing your family your conversion story, you could use that as the what they call the underscore under the video.
So eventually there'll be a place where you can go where there's this whole database of all these this different music that you could...
Right.
Wow, that's a huge...
The hard part about all the music is if you do an arrangement or an original song and submit it, we'll have to have people here, potentially dozens of people, listen to that. And we may have to have an expert from all different genres of music and all different time periods. You've seen those people that are an expert in 70s music. They just know every song and every person that ever recorded music in that time period. And we'll need lots of people like that. And we'll need a person that knows soft rock and pop and all those kinds of things that will listen to this music. And they can say, okay, I don't hear anything that sounds familiar from any of the things I know about. And if we have dozens of people listen to them, then we can be pretty sure that the music doesn't have any copyright issues in it. Because the one difficult part is in creating music, it's very easy to think of a song in your head that you've heard before and you're not really aware that it is somebody else's song. And so we'll have to find those and let them know that there's an issue with the song. And we may contact the person who submits it and say, you know, your song's great, but there's these little issues. If you can fix those and resubmit them, then we can probably use them.
Wow. Any other comments about that? Any thoughts?
It'll be nice, actually, to have new music. One problem we had with the video contest was that they were limited in their music that they could use. So, and not that they were bad; it was bad music, but it was music that, you know, we've heard over and over and over, and they wanted to do their original and use more creativity. So this will give them a chance, maybe, if we do a new contest, whether it's video or music, that they'll have something more to choose from.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention the license or the agreement that they give to us when they're submitting media to the church, whether it's photo, video, music. They keep their copyright. They just give the church an unlimited license to use it.
Okay. I know that's important.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people worried about giving away all their rights, but they do keep those.
Yeah, that's good to note. It's exciting because I know so many people ask me about how they can get their music. And so it's exciting that there's a place that this kind of thing can be submitted, and it encourages more creativity.
Yeah, and once again, we really can't be promoting some people. And some people do want the church to have their music so that they can, you know, make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
And so we have to be really careful about how we accept those and how we put them out there. We'll also have, there's also a call through the priesthood department. They have a yearly music submission that brings in sheet music. And we will probably be involved with them, helping them get that as needed.
Yeah. So for those people who really, I mean, it's just rewarding to be able to complete a piece and have it used somewhere and you don't really care, you know?
Right. It's like these photographers that have 50,000, 100,000 photos that will never be seen by anybody, and they'll probably die and their kids will erase their hard drive and use it for something else.
How sad.
Then, we want these things to be used and used by members all over the world for all different ways of sharing the gospel.
Yeah. You're listening to Everything Creative. I'm talking with Scott Olson, Marianne Jennings, Ashton Smith, and Anthony Park, who are all part of the team behind create.lds.org. Let's talk about some of the other... So far we've talked about photos and video and music. What else do we have that people can submit? I noticed design. Talk about that a little bit. I know that may be coming in the future.
That's probably the farthest out. What the design is... as we were looking at the Create site and we could see all of these other ways of sharing your talents, we realized that there's a lot of people that have graphic design skills, Photoshop skills, that create incredible designs for all different kinds of things. And this will be a place where if they want to create a template for a blog or templates for websites, they can send those in and we could put them on the LDS Media Library and for people to download. We could also have them take pictures and edit them for us. For example, we get quite a number of photos that need to be edited because they've got a logo on a T-shirt or it'll be a picture of a person or something, and in the background there'll be a sign mm-hmm. that we need blurred out. So we'll have a way that they can check those pictures out, fix them, and send them back to us because we just don't have enough people to help do all that.
Yeah, and I would imagine in the future you may know more of what your needs are in the design area.
Right.
And those are things you would continue to update and post on your website.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's great. It gives people an opportunity to serve in a different way. I think something that's maybe really appealing to them.
It does.
It's great. Also, I noticed on their writing scripts, real-life stories. We'll talk about that a little bit. What do you think you'll be looking for in the writing department?
For writing, there's always a need for videos put out by the media services department. It could be something that a department, like welfare department, needs a video of showing people how to wash their hands. So we may need a 5-minute script to detail out how to do that. And any one of hundreds of different kinds of topics, there's lots of videos that are created every year. And there's always a need for specific kinds of scripts. They may be 3 minutes, they may be 15 minutes. And we just never know. So on the website, we'll have a list of those things you may be able to sign up for or send something in and participate that way.
When you get to that point and you need some stories about a certain topic or whatever, I just imagine that if you receive a lot of submissions, that's going to take a long time for – you may have to have a whole team of people to sort through that stuff.
Well, part of this this whole effort is called crowdsourcing by the world. We just call it member engagement or getting members involved. Mm-hmm. But one of the things we want to do is get members involved in doing that, in reading the stories. So if we got 500 stories in a month, we might have 10 volunteers who would look through those, find the best ones, and pass them on. And some of those stories, for example, you may have an ancestor who had a great conversion story or a trip, from where he lived to Utah that has never been told. And some of those stories will end up here on the radio. So that if people don't have the ability to record them and send them in themselves, then we could get somebody here to read the story and broadcast it.
Some of the other things I think we're looking to receive with writing is different ideas for families to do for like family home evenings or other activities like that in living the gospel. And so I think that'll give members an opportunity to help share some of the ideas that they've had in lessons that they've prepared for their families, whether it be that their children are young and toddlers or that they're teenagers and getting ready to go on missions. You know, those types of experiences or lessons that they've done that have been really effective, they can contribute to the Create site to help others share the gospel with their families and others as well.
Yeah.
One idea that Scott had, which we're working on, is bringing members together to work with each other. So kind of going back to music, original music, where there are some people who like to write the music, but some people who can't play the music. So we want to bring them together, and maybe they can compose something together. So that's one idea. And we may be able to do that with writing and maybe bring some illustrations in or other things that will complete their project.
Right. Going back to the music, imagine that you're a lyricist. You're great at doing that, but you don't have any music skills at all. So you might be able to upload your lyrics, and then a composer may come in and look at and try to find a set of lyrics that he likes or she likes and write some music to that. And then somebody else could come in and perform that music or, with an instrument – and then somebody else could come in and sing to that. And so there's just a whole collaborative group that could come together, and they may never even meet.
And they may be from all over the world.
Right.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool to encourage that creativity and collaboration.
Something else that we want to do with music is to have people record them singing or their children singing songs and send those in, and even on video to record that. And then we could do what's called a mashup and put multiple people together, one after the other, singing a song, a favorite church hymn or something. And then we could put that out on internet for members to use or for them to create their own mashups.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, it's exciting. You think people need to keep going back and back and back to the website to see what your call is for certain submissions at the time.
Right.
I notice now it looks like you're looking for pictures and video of children at Martin's Cove. That's what I noticed.
Right. The Friend magazine approached us and said, we want to do some features both on the website and the magazine on families who have been to Martin's Cove and where the families have had, well, where the children have learned about the Pioneer Experience and what it took. And then they want quotes and feedback about what the children got from that experience. And they want video and photos and the quotes. And then they will put some of those online and feature some people in the magazine.
It's great. When I read that, our family went last year, and we had our three younger children pulling my husband and I in the handcart. And, of course, we were being completely goofy, and the kids, you know, I thought, well, had I known
I'm
that
sure
before,
the pioneers were goofy at times, too.
we probably could have.
It's good to read what you're looking for before, and then you're like, oh, maybe I'll take some pictures that hopefully I can submit. Anthony?
You may have some pictures that you could submit.
Yeah. Also on the website, for each of the calls, we'll have updated lists of specific needs that the church needs as well as the ongoing needs. Some of the things we're looking for in the current needs for videos is families around the temple having just been sealed in the temple. Mm. Or
especially the Salt Lake Temple.
Yeah.
For right now.
Let's talk about, I noticed on your website also that there may be a call for casting. What would that mean? Getting involved in church videos as an actor or an extra or something? Is that what that is?
Yes. We put that on our site for another group that does the casting for the videos. And so if you click on that, you'll actually go to the group that's doing the casting. And you can see the current casting calls, what they need, what upcoming projects they have. And so you can be involved if you fit the criteria. For example, in the next little while, they may be needing a certain set of age groups, like older people or younger people or babies, newly born babies, which you kind of can't schedule.
Yeah.
And so they have to put out a call for certain times to let people know if you're going to have a baby in the future, let us know. If it fits the right time period, then we can use that baby potentially.
Is that something that there's a constant need for? Is it kind of...
Babies?
Well, yeah. Casting. Is that something that they're always looking for someone or a certain...
There are generally projects quite often. And it depends on the time of year and the year as to how many video projects there are going on.
Okay, so something to keep checking back.
Right, exactly.
As well.
Just like the Create site, we never know what the current needs are from different groups. And, for example, with the call for photos, we may get requests from five different church departments that says something like, Relief Society may say, we need pictures of Relief Society women. Priesthood may say, we need some young men. Young women may say, we need some pictures of young women around the temple.
Yeah.
Welfare may say, we need some devastation, or not devastation, but humanitarian efforts going on in devastated areas.
Right.
So we never know week to week what we'll have up there. So it does help if people will go back regularly and look at that list.
Yeah. So this is a site that you want to bookmark on your computer and visit quite often, almost like a blog, to see what's new and what's being called for. That's great. Let's see. Maybe, Marianne and Scott, you can take us through maybe the steps we need to follow. If someone had a photo that they, or a group of photos that they wanted to submit, kind of walk us through that whole process.
Okay. If you're a photographer and you have, say you've gone to a family reunion where there's lots of people there, and you want to take some pictures and submit them to the church. So you could go and take pictures of different families eating together or playing together. you would have had to have previously or afterwards downloaded a model release or a number of model releases to have people sign saying that they're okay for the church to use the image. So you would take the pictures. You would have all the people in your pictures sign those pictures.
So if you had 16 people in your picture, you would have a separate release.
The rule seems to be if there's a big group, if there's not one person that's really the center of attention, then you don't need a model release. If there are several people that seem to stand out more than others, you need to get a release from them.
Okay.
The release that we have on our website also has multiple lines, so you can have more than one person fill out one release. I think it has about 10 lines, so you could have 10 people per release so that we can save on paper a little bit.
Yeah.
So. Right. So you would have the people sign the release, and then you would take your photos home and pick out the best ones. You don't want to submit everything because then we'll have to weed out for you. So send in the best. The way you do that is you go to vineyard.lds.org and you can upload your photos, and you would you would take a picture of each of the model releases you've had signed. And then you would send those along with the pictures through Vineyard. You'd upload them and they would come to us.
There is a link on the Create site. There's a Submit Photos button or Submit Now. That'll take you straight to the Vineyard site.
Right.
And it will have you log in with your LDS account. If you don't have one, you can register for one. You don't actually have to be a member to have one. But there's some instructions there that'll kind of walk you through on how to get an LDS account. Once you log into the Vineyard, you're looking for the multimedia activities. And within those activities, there is a Contribute Photos activity. That's where you'll be able to upload your photos, upload the releases. You can take photos of them, like Scott said, or you can scan them. You can also see a gallery of other photos that have been submitted. You can see what you've submitted within the last 60 days. We tell people not to take it personally if your photos are declined.
We're going to talk a little bit about that.
How would you know?
Well, when your photos are uploaded, you can go in and see a list of all the photos you've submitted. And as your photos come in, we go through and look at every one. We show them full size, and then we either accept or reject them. If we do decline them, there's usually a reason. It's either has lighting issues or copyright issues.
Modesty issues sometimes is an issue that we do have to look for.
In fact, we ought to mention
that. Talk about that. Yeah.
With modesty issues, we get some great shots of little tiny girls in little halter top kinds of things and little tiny short dresses, because we have to follow the same kinds of standards that are shown in the For the Strength of Youth pamphlet. And if you follow that, then you're pretty safe. Okay. So we get the photos in and we zoom in so that we make sure they're in focus or not. And that's probably the biggest reason people's photos are declined, is because they're out of focus.
Yeah.
I think what people do is when they're uploading them to us, they look at these little thumbnail images that are 1 inch by 1 inch, and they say, well, that looks like a good photo. And so they upload them without opening them up to see if they really are in focus. And I would bet 20 to 25% of the photos we get are out of focus.
Really?
And so we can't use them. They look great as tiny pictures, but they're not always tiny pictures when we use them.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I think I love the little tips and tricks, because it really does talk about all of those issues that you mentioned and giving people ideas of even composition and what looks better in a photo and how to set people up. And I think it's great, especially for someone that's just really interested in photography. And it's probably pretty exciting to be able to take a great picture that you've used some of these tips and upload them and see what happens.
Right. Oh, I didn't quite finish. I forgot that we go through and we look at all of them, and there's a number of reasons that they might be declined. But when we accept them or decline them, you receive a little message on that list of photos you've uploaded, and it will say accepted or declined, and it will say the reason why it was declined.
You're looking for the submitted items tab within your Contribute Photos activity in the Vineyard.
Right.
So you won't necessarily receive an email. You will go and look for that after you've submitted. Okay.
Right. We are starting to send out emails more often. If someone has submitted several hundred pictures of landscapes. We'll send them an email to thank them for what they've submitted and to let them know that landscapes we can't use very many of unless they're amazing landscapes mm-hmm. because we get so many of them. So most of those will be declined. What we really need are pictures of people. People, temples, chapels.
And around the world.
Yes.
International
pictures.
We get a lot of photos from the Wasatch Front that are great, but we really do need the international photos to kind of show that this is an international church.
Yeah.
Right. We did get some yesterday from Ecuador. We love those photos, and we want more from every country in the world.
Yeah. So is it just the four of you then behind this? Seems like a lot of work.
We have three missionaries and one other person that helps us, and we'll probably be looking for other volunteers to help us in all the different efforts. If we start getting in too many for us to handle, mm-hmm. we'll definitely call for more help.
And for those interested, they can go to create.lds.org and just email us if they're interested in helping in any way.
Great. That's good to know.
Or if they have questions about any part of the process, what we are looking for, we do respond to emails.
And we're looking for suggestions. You know, we're always trying to make Create better. So mm-hmm. our whole purpose is to have the crowd help us do this. So we want them to help do that too.
Yeah, it's great. You're listening to Everything Creative, and we're talking about the website create.lds.org. Let's talk about where you think this is going to go. I know there's so many possibilities in the future, and it is pretty new. How long did you say it's been up?
May 25th is when the Create site launched.
And of 2011?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. So
it's just brand new.
Very new. And how many submissions have you received roughly? Would you be able to even?
Over 10,000 photo submissions.
10,000 photos. Wow.
Right. The videos are just getting started. Mm-hmm. And right now when I talk to people, most people have no idea this is even going on.
Yeah. Yep.
And so we're hoping that with this program and through other efforts we're doing, we'll try to get people to tell their friends. If they see their friend with a brand new camera, they can tell them, you ought to go to create.lds.org and submit some photos.
Yeah.
I've had a chance to talk to a couple of members who have submitted a few videos already, and it's exciting to hear what the emotion that they go through in being able to contribute stuff to the church. And I think it's a great opportunity, you know, to know that I can contribute my talents and my abilities to help the work along.
You know, kind of go along with what Anthony said, I'm from Mississippi, and so I always saw the church as, you know, this entity in Utah that put out, you know, this book or this video. And so being able to work on projects has, you know, changed my view on that. And now doing this and having the members help out and do it, it's just like your regular callings in church. We all work together to do this. It's not just the church putting this out. It's the members. And in that way, they share their testimonies with the world as well.
Yeah, absolutely. How have you felt? Have you had any kind of personal or faith-promoting experiences or anything that strengthened your testimony as you've been able to be a part of this over the last several months?
Almost daily.
Where do we begin?
Quite often during the week, I'll come back to them and say it happened again. One of those coincidences that just happens. For example, I went to a meeting and I had three questions that I needed to get answered one day. And as I was sitting outside of the meeting room waiting to go in, the man sitting next to me asked me what I was doing, and I told him about the Create site and what was going on. And I told him about some of the questions I had, and he said, oh, I know the answer to that first one. And so he told me the answer to the first one, and then he went into the meeting, and then a friend of mine passed by, and we were talking, and he had the answer to question two. Then I went in the meeting, and they had the answer to question three. And it seems like every time that we come up to a hurdle or need a question answered or a problem solved, that we run into people all the time that have the answers. It's just so common now. Now I just come home and not come home. I come back. It seems like home here. I come back to the office and say, well, it happened again. And they just laugh.
We often refer to them as Scott moments.
Yeah. It's just so common that
you're being guided.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. This is supposed to happen.
I think the members are also being guided as well. There's been a few instances where we've had a department call and say, we need a photo of this. And just that very day, we will have had somebody submit a photo. I think we had something like that happen with the Provo Tabernacle Fire. We also had a need for the Oaxaca, Mexico Temple, and we'd gotten some pictures in that we didn't have in our database.
Right. Public affairs needed pictures of some of the helping hands efforts and humanitarian efforts in the south part of the U.S. And they said that, and I think it was like 2 days later, we got in 20 beautiful photos that were usable for them. And so it just happens over and over and over again.
Wow.
I want Marianne to share the experience from the video contest. There was a member that, or someone that was baptized because one of the videos had an influence on them. You remember what I'm talking about?
I think so. We had the video was a finalist video, and there were so members, visitors got to go and view these videos on our site as well as them being on YouTube. And like we said, thousands of people have seen these videos. And the video was of a conversion story of a couple. And
sometimes it's okay to fail.
Sometimes it's okay to fail was the name of the video. And it was talking about a couple who, I don't know how specific I can be. Well, so the video is about a couple who tried to convert Merrill Osmond. And the video is called Sometimes It's Okay to Fail. And they failed to convert Merrill Osmond because he converted them or helped to convert them. And it's their story. And it's a very inspiring video that this fellow put together. And I guess a month or two after he had submitted it, he'd been at a conference or a meeting of some sort. And a person had come up to them and said, I just want to thank you for making this video. It was very inspiring, answered a lot of questions that I had had and had felt, some concerns that I had that this couple had had, and it led them to investigate the church further, and we got an email back saying that this person had been baptized.
Wow. What so, a great story.
It was a fantastic story.
Yeah, you never know who will be the recipient, who will watch these videos, who will have a friend who's making one or taking pictures or, you know, you just don't know.
Yeah, and we don't get the feedback all the time, mm-hmm. So we don't know. It's all over the world, so hopefully they are.
Yeah.
So if you have feedback, we'd love to hear
yes,
it.
Yes, we would.
Or even success stories.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you'd love to get that kind of response and feedback from people.
Well, and one of the other things we're going to do on the site is we will have a page that talks about these kinds of faith-promoting experiences that people have had, either submitting their photos, if they've been prompted to take a certain photo, or the background story behind a photo or a video or the music,
yeah,
so that other members can see that.
What a wonderful thing to be involved in. I bet it's a fun part of your job and exciting. I mean, this could go crazy.
We're hoping.
Yeah, we are hoping.
Just as we're wrapping up here, one other thing I wanted to talk about on the website, I noticed you had like a spotlight photographer or videographer or, you know, pictures of the week or whatever. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, when we see a photographer or a videographer who they're submitting just wonderful photos or videos, they're the exact type of quality that we're looking for, we will email them and invite them to be one of our spotlight photographers or videographers. And if they accept the invitation, we send them a list of questions that we invite them to answer. And they can include photos that they'd like to feature on their spotlight. A lot of it is up to them. This is their spotlight. They get to shine. This is one area that we do get to let them shine and share their experience, their background, what they think about this whole create effort. And it's just been a really fun way to get to know the members who are helping with this create effort.
I think it kind of stirs an excitement. At the beginning, Scott had us submitting photos so we would know the process, so we would know what we're going through. And some of mine got, you know, accepted, and every now and then I'll be going through and I'll see this one shot that I did, and it was a landscape. But it was a sunset in Nauvoo, and it is a beautiful picture, and just seeing it on there kind of got me excited, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to keep the members excited, and it's fun to share that with your families. Hey, my pictures are up here. It's the photo of the week. You can go look at it, and this is the story that encouraged it. And it's fun. It's exciting.
Yeah, that's great. Any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Get involved and create.
Yeah.
And submit.
It is. It's a call to be creative, and it gives people this opportunity, which I think is great. It's very exciting. So I appreciate so much all of you being here. Scott Olson, Marianne Jennings, Ashton Smith, and Anthony Park. Thank you for all of your work and behind the scenes here at the website. And thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us today. If you'd like to look at pictures from today's episode, you can visit our website at mormonchannel.org. I'm Nancy Hansen, and this is Everything Creative, a program of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.